Sunday Meditation, January 15th, 2006. The question today, Quo, has to do with letting go. Most of the folks talking around the circle today seem to be in a rather harmonious place on the journey. Things were relatively solid and moving forward in a positive manner. But we know that change is always on the horizon. The spiritual seeker can depend upon change. And what we've learned over the years is that letting go is the way for change to happen most easily within us. But we've discovered a couple of ways of letting go. If we're a little hesitant about letting go and we hold on for a while, we finally come to the point where we have to let go, or let go or die, then, well, you know, that works, but it's kind of hard to do it that way. It seems to be much more easily accomplished if we can let go in a conscious fashion and sort of do it at our own pace. And we were wondering if you could talk to us about these two types of letting go as a part of the spiritual seeker's journey. Is one more helpful or efficient than the other?
We are those known to you as the principle of Kuo. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. In whose service we come to you this day. We want to thank each of you for creating the time and space in the midst of your busy lives to form this circle of seeking. We realize that there are many times that we say this to you, and you must feel that we are repeating ourselves. Those of you who have made a practice of coming to these meditations, we assure you that there is no degree whatsoever of repetition to our observations. We are always stunned at the beauty of each of you, and encouraged beyond words by your stubbornness and your dedication to seeking the truth as you know it. With energies that are so impossible to extinguish amongst each of your fragile lives and processes, how can we fail to have hope for your planet and its tribe? It is greatly encouraging to us to be amongst such a circle of souls, and we thank you for calling us to you. We would request that you guard your thoughts and your reactions to what we have to say with exquisite care. We would not be a stumbling block in your process. So please, before you pick up and use any of our ideas, run it past your own discrimination and make sure that it is your truth. Make sure that it feels very resonant and lively to you, as if it were something that wanted to grow, something that you remembered rather than having learned it for the first time, but something you want to look at more closely. These are the signs of its being that which may be a helpful resource for you. If it does not act like this, if it just sits there and is a thought for you that doesn't resonate, then please let it go. It is not for you at this time. Your question this day is an interesting one, for it moves into the whole question of process. And that is what you are truly asking about when you ask about how to let go as a part of growing and changing. For us to respond adequately to this question, we need to take a step back and try to see our comments in an environment of thoughts and ideas that form a structure in which this process is seen for that which it is. Our challenge is to find the appropriate starting place. And so we would simply move back to that starting place that is our beginning and our ending, that with which we greet you and that with which we say goodbye. We greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. The love of which we speak is that unconditional love that is the Logos. We greet you in the thought that created all that there is. And we greet you in light. That light is that which the idea of unconditional love used to impress upon that light the distortions necessary to create the illusions that you see as all the densities, your creation, all your planetary bodies, and all of you. Shafts of the sunlight of the infinite creator sparkles in the creator's eye, and holographic portions of the creative principle. We greet you as creators. We realize that you are very young creators and that you have many distortions and colors in the way you see things. Indeed, the whole point of sending forth each of you from the creative whole at the moment of a new creation was so that you could accumulate experiences and develop these distortions and colors. Each of you has within you the experiences of many lifetimes. You have within you your reactions and your responses to things of unimaginable joy and things of the most intense and unrelieved suffering and everything in between. And not just once have you had this panoply of experiences and created, worked through, and finished patterns of learning and service, but many, many times have you gone through this creative and energetic process of casting yourself forth into the sea of experience that an incarnation represents. Finding your directions by looking at the stars. And once you have set your intention and set your goal, finding the rudder and the steering mechanism, in starting to take control of your boat, that tiny person-sized craft that you navigate through the infinite waters of the unknown and mysterious seas of a lifetime. What is the correct way to find your stars, to set your intention, to learn your boat and how it works so that you can steer it, and to set your course? And these are questions for you to answer, not for us. But we can share thoughts with you about this process, and this we are glad to do. We realize that your life has not come clear to you and then retained its clarity. Indeed, we would be somewhat distressed were we to discover that the people of your planet were experiencing no confusion, doubt, or distress. For incarnations are created specifically to offer you these gifts. It may not seem like a gift to be confused or to be suffering. Yet, this is the dearest one of gifts, in the sense that you, before incarnation, designed into the specifications of your life ample opportunities to discover within yourself those imbalances which you hoped before incarnation you would notice. You hoped that you would not only notice them, but that you would want to work on them. You provided yourself with difficult people, unfair situations, and repeated cycles of inner storm where you were unclear to yourself. And in all of these gifts to yourself, you were not thinking about your comfort, but about your growth. You were hoping that your response to confusion would be not only to express the pain of that confusion, but also to enter into it, to embrace confusion, to live with it, speak with it, and accept confusion without attempting to make confusion wrong, or to get yourself out of confusion as that being your only goal. When things are in confusion, it does not mean that you have become mistaken in your way. It means that you have entered a pattern within your process whose end you cannot see. In some cases, the pattern is other than it seems. These are usually cases where the confusion is local or localized and small. Yet the way you are looking at it, the angle from which you are viewing it, is casting shadows that are not helpful. Consequently, there are some times when confusion is a signal for you simply to rotate your point of view. Stepping back, if you can, to a larger point of view. Or simply rotating that point of view so that other ways of understanding the situation might come into view. There are other points of confusion which bespeak having come into a larger pattern, a pattern that is incarnational rather than local. Indeed, it could be a pattern that moves entirely beyond the limitations of incarnation. It could be, for instance, that you are creating a better balance within yourself as part of the work of wanderers within a social memory complex group. The wanderers themselves do not know about the other wanderers upon the planet that are doing this work. But as each of you wakes up and begins to study the patterns of confusion that you experience, you are helping many unseen friends who do not know that they are being helped by you any more than you know that you are helping them. Yet as part of this unseen and for the most part undiscovered group, as you do the work on yourself, you do the work for the group as well. So that your achievements in finding bits of clarity amidst the confusion redound to the understanding of the entire group. And in a larger and more general sense, all of you are part of the tribe of planet Earth. And therefore, each time that you achieve more clarity for yourself, you achieve it also for the tribe of the peoples of Earth. Realize then that your process, your confusion, your changes, your choices, and your decisions are not simply for you. As you do the work that opens up your incarnation to receive more and more light from the Creator, you are receiving more and more light for planet Earth, not only for yourself. As you do the work to lay aside those stumbling blocks that would keep you from service, you are laying aside stumbling blocks that lie before each and every soul of your tribe. You do not have to say a word or share any concepts in order to do this work. You have simply to do the work. The collection agency, shall we say, for the gifts that your clarity offers lies completely beyond your control and is part of the natural and instinctual action of the outworking of the pattern of third density upon your planet at this time. You do not have to be concerned about anything except moving into your process with faith in yourself and in the process. Your query was about how to let go. There are indeed many times in the recurring and cyclical patterns of your spiraling process where you shall indeed, as the one known as Judy said, find that there is undergrowth, brush and brambles and fallen limbs that have come down so that you are unable to walk where you had walked before. You must let go of the old route. You must find a new one. These points within your process seem fairly simple. And yet, the underbrush on a moor or a heath can come from many different sources. It might come because of an elemental storm. It might come because an animal has destroyed a tree in its efforts to get to the food that it holds. It might come because there is another third density entity with whom you are interacting that has seemingly created this impenetrable underbrush where you can no longer find your path. It could come from that which calls you from beyond, from the realms of love, from the realms of wisdom, or from the realms of unity. There are ideas that, once found, become the center of your life. And these ideas can call you forward from, as we said, beyond the veil of third density. If you are excited and passionately energized by devotion to the one creator and wish to sacrifice yourself and serve to the exclusion of all else, you are probably being called by love itself, that energy that this instrument knows as Jesus the Christ. There is much to learn from that energy of pure and unconditional love, and indeed, it is that central theme that calls everyone forward who wishes to graduate in service to others from third density to fourth density. If you are passionately and actively involved in justice and fairness issues, it is likely that you are being called from the density of wisdom. And you are being asked to examine the balance within your own life of these energies of wisdom. This energy is most positive, and yet upon third density, Earth, the energies of fairness, equality, and justice have been trammeled and mired in those lax within entities to be able to see their own issues of unfairness and injustice. If you are being called to examine the balance between love and wisdom, you are probably being called from sixth density ideals. It is not necessarily that you are a wanderer from fourth, fifth, or sixth density, depending on what excites you and makes you passionate. It is much more likely that there are energies within your plan for incarnation that are calling to you to focus on either pure love, pure wisdom, or achieving a better balance between love and wisdom in your decision making. It sometimes helps in terms of seeing into your incarnational pattern and the lessons that you have set for yourself to identify where your ruling passions lie. You gave yourself these passions and these concerns as a gift. They will tend to drive your experience. But also be aware, my friends, that if you have a love pattern, a wisdom pattern, or a unity pattern, that you will have distortions which are offshoots of this basic bias in your studies and in your learning. Another part of the process that is very much something that you offered to yourself as a gift is the very challenging question of how to serve given your gifts and your passions as well as your limitations. This is where you begin receiving contradictory and paradoxical impulses because of the various portions of your pattern not being, shall we say, in sync with each other. Sometimes when a passion is too dearly or closely held, it can pull to you experiences for which you were not ready. Much of what we have said to this group in times past about moving into meditation daily is based on our realization of your blindness in this regard. With the veil of forgetting laid carefully upon you, you have no way of seeing into your own subconscious thoughts. You have a limited ability to communicate with your subconscious through the medium of dreams. And occasionally, you may well get a waking vision, an image, or a quick sequence of visualized events that speaks to you with the authority that you can feel when deeper portions of yourself surface. And those pieces of information are very helpful. But for the most part, you must move through this water dance that you do, and we use that term advisedly, without full knowledge of what the patterns are with which you are working. Consequently, we cannot say to you that such and such a time is the time to let go. We can only say to you that indeed it is part of the art of seeing into your process to trust your hunches and to follow them. Say that you are coming to a time of cusp. There are many ways to discover this time of cusp. the easiest way is to allow it to come fully to cusp, and then to decide spontaneously what to do next. This is a tried and true method of going through life, and it works well. It is not, however, the most skillful way to approach a time of cusp. Now, we use this term, time of cusp, because this instrument understands that there are times in the astrological year when any given spirit, having been born at a certain time, comes into various cusps. This is a technical term which she does not understand. We are using this term in the general sense which this instrument understands, rather than in the specialized astrological sense. However, for those who work with this material, who grasp what is meant by this term astrologically, it may actually be helpful for you to think in terms of the astrological cusps which you enter into. When you are coming to an internally felt time of cusp, various characteristics emerge. You become focused on one particular portion of your experience at the expense of other portions of your experience. You become engaged and have an internal dialogue about this time of choice. You are aware of the intensification of the energies around you, and it is often characteristic of such a time that you feel a sense of urgency. When you experience the concatenation of these various characteristics, you know that something is afoot. As we have said to the one known as Tim before, it is important to be sensitive to these times, to recognize them, to acknowledge them, and to thank the Creator for giving you this time of choice. It is a time that it is well to invoke gratitude. Be thankful that such a time has come to you. For there are many, many times when you simply must wait. When a time of choice begins to crystallize in your spiral dance, this is actually a time of rejoicing. Much that you have done is now coming to fruition. Indeed, much that others have done, that you have harvested in your experience, you now have the opportunity to recreate as the gift that you give to those who come after you. Such is the nature of spiritual decision making. As you choose, as you polarize, as you seek and find the very best and highest path that you know, you are creating seeds of light that others shall be able to see by the roadside, help to bloom, and harvest the fruit of in their turn. Again, we pull you back from the intense personal nature. We correct this instrument, the intensely personal nature of times of choice, to the realization that you are always doing impersonal work. Because a portion of you, and hopefully a growing portion of who you are, is the impersonal I that is the one infinite Creator's love and light flowing through you, not from you. The true letting go is the realization that it is not your choice entirely. It is the choice of the Creator. And you are the Creator choosing your universe and your creation. Allow that impersonal I to have its voice within you. The one known as Judy was speaking earlier. We correct this instrument. The one known as Rosie was speaking earlier of experiencing a moment when she was at a retreat weekend, which was designed to help entities meet the Christ, meet unconditional love fully. She remembered something that this instrument had said. And indeed, it was in actuality the quotation of part of a verse of a hymn that this instrument is very fond of singing. The words are those words which challenge entities to meet the Christ. They are, O Jesus, thou art standing outside the fast closed door in lowly silence waiting to cross the threshold o'er. The song challenges people to open the door to their hearts. And as we have said before, we say it again. We turn that image around and say to you that the Christ, unconditional love itself, is waiting for you in the heart of your heart, in the Holy of Holies that is your inner sanctum. It is you who are knocking at the door. The Christ will always open that door to you. Knock and you shall enter. This is the basic letting go that we would recommend to you this day. Release the thought of fear for making a wrong decision. For your choices will follow you. You may make a decision that, in hindsight, you simply say was not a decision that was of the most service to you. However, it does not stop your forward progress to make what you might consider later to be an incorrect choice. It simply moves you into a pattern which is novel to you. That is another thing to let go of, is that judgment of self that would condemn you for making a wrong choice. Please realize, my friends, that when you are working in the dark, it is very, very easy to miss-see. It is standard operating procedure for entities within incarnation to make choices based on less than a full amount of information, and therefore to move out of the most efficient pattern, shall we say, into a pattern that has more detail to it, more color, and certainly, to some extent, less clarity. If you are in one of those many-colored stained glass life situations, relax and cease all judgment of yourself. You have created this pattern because there were things about it that appealed to you. for one reason or another. Do not judge yourself in any way for having made those choices. But rather, start with the assumption that you have done a perfect job. And that which looks like a great big mess is actually a pattern that is too big for you to see at this time. Resolve to continue to gather information. And meanwhile, lean heavily into your knowledge that you have done a perfect job and that all is well. Your guidance is right there with you, waiting to be asked to help. But first, rest in the unconditional love of your own heart. Become healed. Allow love to be you, and you will find that you are ever more healed and ever more balanced. Then, when you have rested and feel that energy within you springing forth, that energy that comes through you, and you know that you have the strength to examine ideas and to do analysis of the situation, then use your mind and your intuition. Analyze your situation as many different ways as you can. And begin to get a real resonance and a real honest, authentic feeling or intuition about the deeper nature of your situation. Avail yourself of the guidance that is with you. And when you do see that it is good to release something from you, from your patterns of habit and usage, by all means, do so. What we think that you will find is that for the most part, you will notice what you have let go of in hindsight, because you are no longer grabbing for whatever it was that has now fallen away from you. This instrument, for instance, was at one time extremely fond of chocolate and sweets in general, and indeed had eaten so many sweets for so much of her life that her entire body chemistry was oriented to using sugar for carbohydrates. She was not doing her body any favors by eating in this manner. And at one point in her life, she discovered herself putting into effect many changes in diet. She missed her sweets up until one day when she noticed that she was not craving them anymore. She was not looking at the menu in restaurants to see what desserts they had first. She was actually looking at the food, the entrees, the salads, items which never appealed to her in her younger years when there were so many difficulties with eating. Because her body accepted them. Had she taken thought to give up sweets, she would have found herself in a terrible struggle. Instead, she allowed the natural force of her body's reaction to the changes that she was making comfortably to carry her over some completely unseen precipice and into an entirely new area of her experience where she simply did not crave sweets. Perhaps that is what we would leave you with as we end this time of musing and pondering that we have shared with you. Perhaps it is not so necessary as you may think to make grand gestures, large decisions, and abstract choices. Perhaps it is well to be aware of times of crux, to be aware of the point of the cusp, and yet to allow the maximum amount of guidance to surround you in that environment of choice, so that the choice almost makes itself in an organic and living way. We realize that we have but scratched the surface of this question, and we apologize for not finding ways to move deeper within the time limits of this instrument's energy. But she is telling us at this time that we need to move into further questions that she might have at this time. Is there a query at this time? We are Gosa Ukuo.
I would like to ask Kuo, is it helpful to consider that positive thought, positive thinking, is a choice that helps to clear a path to the sort of purity of emotion that assists one in serving deeply and truly in a way that is harmonious with one's own truth of beingness, as well as the truth of beingness of others, you know, in a way that is non-invasive of others.
We are those of Kuo and are aware of your query, my sister. We would agree with you that the habit of positive thinking is a tremendous resource to the spiritual seeker, and indeed a resource that shines not only, as the one known as Judy has said, on the self, but on all whom that self touches. What is it to choose positive thinking? Literally speaking, it is to choose to think only positive thoughts. However, the choice goes beyond the surface. For to ask the mind to think only positive thoughts is to ask the mind to play itself false. For the mind creates many thoughts, some of which are positive and some of which are negative. We are not suggesting that you edit out your thoughts that you consider less than positive. The one known as Judy was suggesting, and we are suggesting, something else entirely. We are suggesting that there are strains of truth that are deeper than circumstance. These strains of truth involve dynamics which we correct this instrument, each of which are choices. The prayer of St. Francis says it so clearly that we will use this instrument's version of that prayer to demonstrate that which we mean. The prayer goes like this. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, teach us to seek more to be loved. We correct this instrument, more to love than be loved. More to understand than be understood. More to console than be consoled. For it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in giving that we receive. And it is in dying that we rise to eternal life. Each of you knows what it is to be distressed, but you also know what it is to be an instrument of peace, for you have done so, and you have done so by choice. All of you have had the experience of receiving disharmony from others, and you have made that choice to give back love for discord. All of you have taken sacrificial choices to give instead of ask, to love instead of seeking to be loved, and so forth. You know from personal experience what it is like to invoke positive qualities that lie deep within your character. The one known as Judy is simply saying, and we would agree with her, that there is always within you an awareness in any difficult situation of some positive aspects on which you could call if you remember to call. You can, for instance, choose to take a difficult situation head on and simply offer thanks for receiving the situation. Thanksgiving and gratitude are like an inhalant to someone who has asthma. If you can breathe in gratitude, your lungs begin to hold more air, more love, more light, more energy, more life. Remembering to give thanksgiving for the breath that you take and the room that you take up on the planetary surface is most helpful in reorienting your thoughts. What the process is all about is bringing yourself into a situation in which you have more control over the mechanisms of your being. If left to itself, your personality shell, which is more or less integrated, will go off on a clumsy gallop, taking you and the card and everything that you want to learn and have to offer in service with it. A great part of the spiritual process is becoming slowly more and more aware of the lightness and the looseness of the situation. It is not a heavy, crushing situation, even though it may seem so. Metaphysically speaking, it is a very plastic, pliable situation that you can work with quite a bit. Not in terms of how things are playing out in the physical illusion, but in terms of how you were processing them and using them in your mind, in your emotions, and in your heart. it is possible for an unexamined, confused situation to crush you so that you have almost no hope, no power to go on, and so forth. It is also possible with that same situation to do what little you can in your mind at any given time to remember who you are and take back your power from that which is crushing you. It does not matter when you are taking back your power whether or not you have the ability to affect the physical situation at that moment. Taking back your power as a soul or spirit is involved in remembering that you are not limited by life and death. You are a citizen of eternity. You are a creator, and you have a creation that you can populate with the ideals and the beauties that you love. You can forgive the people or the situations that are crushing you. The power to forgive is tremendous. You have the power to declare that a situation is as you see it and not as the world sees it. And by serenely sticking to your story, you can save your mind, your emotions, and your heart from undergoing the crushing action of physical circumstance. This is not something that the world can understand easily. It is something for you to take within yourself and experiment with. We would ask you to experiment with taking your power back whenever you feel helpless and hopeless. Remember who you are and why you're here. Take courage and feel the dignity of your reality. You did not come here for casual purposes. You came here as a sacred journey, and you are doing very well with it. Take pride in yourself. Have faith in your process, and know that your guidance is closer than your hands and feet, nearer to you than your next breath. Is there a further query at this time, my sister?
No. Thank you. Thank you, Quan.
We thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time? We find that we have used up your questioning for this time of seeking. And so we shall leave this instrument of this group thanking you all for the experience of being able to serve. It has been a pleasure and a privilege. We leave you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as the principle of Gu. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.